I want to talk to you today about a happy marriage. I don't preach on this, but about once every 10 years. So pay attention. Today I want to look at this thought. Marriage is God's idea, and it works when it's done His way. There is nothing wrong with God's institution of marriage. Some people sometimes say, marriage just doesn't work, I'm not going to get married. Well, it's the people involved. It's not the institution of marriage. We cannot do marriage our way. We must do it God's way. And you can try any way you want, but it's not going to work. Also, marriage cannot be built on secular humanism. It has to be built on this book. Don't do what feels good to you. You do unto others, including your wife and your husband, as you'd have them do unto you. Genesis 2:18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Verse 23, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And I believe he did it that way so it'd be the exact same DNA. He didn't make woman from a separate handful of dirt. He took flesh and bone from the man. It says he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in that place. Verse 22, the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. Verse 23, the man said, wow. Oh, that's not in the Bible, but that's probably what he said. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. You see, God had this thing designed just right from the very beginning. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. You see, when two people are truly born again and truly godly people, this will work. God's plan for marriage will work. Marriage is a sacred gift. Husbands and wives complete each other, and it is not a contest between two equals, as some marriages seem to be. It is a coming together to be one. You see, each has talents and gifts they bring to the marriage. Nearly all the talent in our marriage comes from Dottie. Verse 24, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. If you're not willing to become one, you're not going to make it. You can't just be all about you. It's got to be about both of you. It takes two to tango, they say, so both people have to be in agreement. We're going to make this thing work. This is God's plan. This is God's way. It is like the nut and the boat that holds things together. I mean, nuts and boats hold your car together. Yay. It's not about the nut being better than the boat or the boat better than the nut or the two being equal. It's about them coming together to do the job to hold your car together. And we come together, we can do greater things. It is not a matter of being two equal parts. It's two becoming one. When a husband and wife truly become one, they can do far greater things together than they can separately. And I can testify to that, you know. One can put 1,000 to flight, the Bible says, and two can put 10,000 to flight. When you truly get in agreement, it multiplies your power and influence. Absolutely. If you want a happy marriage, here's how. Matthew 19:4. Here's what Jesus had to say about it. Basically, he just quotes what I already read from Genesis. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? Male and female. The Bible says there are two genders. Have you not read that how he made them from the beginning male and female? Verse 5, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. That's God's plan. It doesn't matter how many plans your secular humanist friends come up with. That's God's plan. And that's the only plan that's going to work. For you to be happy and fulfilled and to be able to be fruitful and multiply. And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate or put asunder, as the King James says. God expects a lifelong commitment because we become one flesh, and God does not want us torn apart. But everyone does not have a choice. Sometimes one of the partners just decides, you know, I'm out of here, and there's not a thing you can do about it. That happens all the time. It's a lot of it's because of secular humanist teaching that's really telling people, just do what feels good. And if you've made a commitment and it's not in your best interest, break it. That's not Bible. That's not Scripture. And it's a good way to have a miserable life. You need to be able to make a commitment and keep it. If you want to be happy and be fulfilled in anything. Then I made a commitment to this church 44 years ago, and we're still doing our best to keep that commitment. No matter what has happened to you, God has a great plan for the rest of your life. And you can't just say, well, my life is over because my wife or my husband forced me into a divorce. I believe if you truly serve God, it says, let each man work out his own salvation in fear and trembling. So you and God got to get together and decide what God wants and obey God. Amen. But if you have a second chance at a marriage, be sure you do it right. Pray through to make sure you got the right one. Make sure both of you are totally committed to making that marriage work. And be sure it's the will of God. But remember, you can't unscramble eggs. Some people have been married, divorced two or three times, two or three different sets of kids. You can't go back and unscramble all that. You got to trust God to help you figure out a plan to make it all work for you for the rest of your life. Amen. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. You can be a monkey if you want to be, but I'm not a monkey. The monkey has a different DNA and a different genetic code from me. Amen. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Some extreme feminists who get upset because the Bible says man. It says man. It says man. You need to read it and have an intelligent understanding of what man is. Man is male and female in the Bible. It's male and female. God created both. When God says man, he means male and female. Verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. You see, God created man, male and female, for a reason to be fruitful and multiply. The desire to reproduce is in most people. They want to have children. And it can work if you do it the way God says do it. Two people get married and raise those kids together. As long as they live, they're still there for their kids together. Like I said, I know some people don't have a choice. But if you have a choice, stick together. God created two sexes. Unless it's a dangerous situation where you can't live like a family I grew up in. Mama hung in there, but she had certainly been justified to have left. God created two sexes because he wants us to be fruitful and multiply. Everyone is created is heterosexual, male and female is what the book says. They're created male and female. But some become homosexual because of bad things that happen to them. They're not born that way, but things can reorientate them so that it becomes a powerful force so great that attraction can't be broken, I believe, without God's help. But no matter what kind of attraction you have, if you get before God, I believe God will help you. and deliver you and break the strongholds of the enemy. But this is what the book says. Amen. But God can set us free from no matter what Amen. The devil has put on us. How many know there's a devil at work to ruin your life, destroy your life? You got to know that. And in Jesus Christ, he has given you authority to kick the devil out. God created marriage as a safe haven for husband, wife, and children. Malachi 2:15. Listen, this is good scriptures here. You never hear a preacher read. I like to really lay it out the way God does. Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. Has not the Lord made them one in flesh and spirit? They are his. And why one? See, we belong to him. And we don't have any justification to rebel against him. This is the way God created us. Because he was seeking godly offspring. Has not the Lord made them one in flesh and spirit? They are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourselves. It goes on to say, so guard yourselves in your spirits, in your spirit. And do not break faith with the wife of your youth. Stay faithful to your wife. Why? Wife, stay faithful to your husband. Period. That's the only way to live. Amen. Everything else is going to be disappointing and break your heart and destroy your home, your marriage, and maybe even your job and your life. God expects people to get married, stay married, and raise their children. Yeah. Now, I know that's not the way America works today. It did when I was growing up. The only people I knew when I was growing up that were divorced were Cumbersons. Everybody else kept their family together. And all the kids I knew, except for one or two Cumbersons, they had mom and dad in the house with them until they grew up. That's the way it was. Life was fantastic then compared to now. That's one reason they have so much poverty in America is because dad's leaving mom with the kids and they're struggling to have bread on the table. And then he has another family now he has to support. I mean, can you see it just doesn't work? Amen. Not for the benefit of the parents or the children. And if you can work it out, you're better off to pray the thing through and stay right where you are. If God gives you a second chance at marriage, do it right this time. Okay. Do it according to God's word. It will work according to his word. Now, secular humanism celebrates emancipation, emancipating the individual from, and they just absolutely say so. I'm not guessing. Celebrates emancipating the individual from traditional controls like marriage, family, church, and state is their goal to set people free really from their commitments. My Lord God, that's pure Satan. Forget commitment. If you are unfulfilled and are unhappy in marriage, leave your wife and your five kids and just be free and shack up with anybody you want to. That would destroy your life and your children and your wife and in many cases, your job, your career, and everything else. I've been around a long time. I've seen it. I've been around long enough. I've seen it both ways. The way to do it is the way Dottie and I have done it. And I know I got a better deal than she did. But she's made her mind. She's sticking with it. Can you say amen? My job is to teach you the word of God. What you do with it is your business. Well, I'm not listening to this stuff. Okay, just call me when your life falls apart, and I'll try to help you put it back together. But the only way to be fulfilled is to do it God's way, not just marriage, everything. Amen. Proverbs 5:20, why should you, my son, be infatuated with a loose woman, embrace the bosom of an outsider, and go astray. Men are warned more about loose women than women are about crazy men. Verse 21, for the ways of a man are directly before the eyes of the Lord. You ain't getting away with nothing. Oh, the secular humanists have taken care of that. Well, there is not a God. Where there is a God, they are lying to you. Look in the mirror and tell yourself you're a big accident. The brain you have cannot accept that. You're not an accident. And I was talking to Terry Gary Boland this week. He had major surgery on his ankle. And it's amazing. That ankle can go in all kind of directions. And I mean, it's really a complicated. When you have to do surgery on an ankle, it can be really complicated. Do you think that ankle just all evolved by itself? And your eyeball, even with all these fancy cameras, no one has been able to design a camera equal to your eye. But it's just, you just evolved from nothing without any divine direction, just a giant accident. There is no God. If you can believe that, you've got a lot of problems. For the ways of a man are directly before the eyes of the Lord, and he carefully weighs all man's goings. His own iniquity shall ensnare the wicked man, and very often will kill him, or he'll be so addicted to drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, that he's a slave to those things. His own iniquity shall ensnare the wicked man, and he shall be held with the cords of his sin. People become slaves. Look around. You can see it happening all around you. I'm going to live free. And look at them. Some of them on the bridge. And some of them are dead. Verse 23, but he will, people become slaves to sin, especially sex sins. His own iniquity shall ensnare the wicked man, and he shall be held with the cords of his sin. So people do become slaves to sin, especially sex sins. The sex sin is the most addictive, I think, about anything. That's why you need to live godly before you get married. If you're having sex with everybody in the neighborhood before you get married, that can become an addiction and could become almost impossible to stop after you get married. So these secular humanist Marxists have almost totally destroyed our society and our marriage and everything else. Verse 23, because we don't have to listen to them, do we? But you need to know the truth, and you got to have a preacher get in the pulpit and speak the truth. We need to pray for every preacher in America that he'll get his boldness back and preach the truth. Amen. He will die for lack of discipline and instruction. Die for lack of discipline. You need to discipline your kids and not listen to what the secular humanists have to say. Die for lack of discipline. Your kids learn discipline when you discipline them. They learn to discipline themselves when you discipline them. He shall die for a lack of discipline and instruction. Some become addicts to illicit sex before marriage, and it's almost impossible to settle down and be faithful. That's why we need to live godly before marriage, and after marriage, if we have issues, we need to pray it through and get victory from Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14, house and riches are the inheritance from fathers, but a wise understanding and prudent wife is from the Lord. House and riches are the inheritance from fathers. Your dad might be able to leave you a house and some money, but he can't leave you a good wife. Hey, you have to get one of them from God. Can you say amen? And today I think it's even harder to find a good husband. So God can provide you a good husband. Somebody say amen. I was talking to someone this week. They got three daughters, and she said their daughter says, Mama, it's almost impossible to find a good man. And you know what? That's the truth. I know one good young man, but he's out in Utah skiing. My son, daughter. That's fantastic. A wise, understanding, and prudent wife is from the Lord. The wife is a wise, understanding, and prudent partner for her husband. You can spin that around. The husband can be a wise and prudent partner for the wife. Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You see, Dottie has been my greatest blessing in life. Amen. Really? To this day. Well, y'all Christians in a ministry, you've had no problems. That cracks me up. Don't tell Dottie that. And on top of, I mean, we're totally opposites. I'm no country boy, grew up chasing pigs and cows, chickens, milking cows, chopping firewood. And she grew up taking ballet dance lessons, and you know, and all. Her whole world was totally different. But we got married, we made up our mind we was going to make it work. And the last year or so, we've been happy. But seriously, she's been a wise, understanding, and prudent partner to me. She has encouraged and built me up. I would never have been able to pastor this church without her, not at all. It has been exciting living with a wonderful woman and having children together. You see, a man has needs only a woman can meet, and it goes the other way, too. Women have needs only, and I'm not talking just about sexual either. I mean, we're different, and we support each other, help each other, encourage each other. And Deuteronomy 24, verse 5 says, when a man is newly married, now look at this. Mr. Man, stand up and be a real man. And I'm going to tell you right now, no matter what the secular humanists say, women still want a real man. She wants someone she can feel safe with, especially when she's around other men, that she knows her boy is willing to fight and die for her if need be. Amen. It's important to be a man. But you better know how to treat her right by the Word of God. And I'm going to look at some of that. And don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, because I've lived it. And then I lived in a home that was all messed up. My father abusing and mistreating my mother. I know the difference between a godly man and an abuser. Deuteronomy 24, verse 5, when a man is newly married, he shall not, listen to this, he shall not go out with the army or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer his wife whom he has taken. So when you get married, don't put your business, you got to take care of your business or you won't have any money for the family, but at the same time, you got to be cheering your wife. And it helps if she gives him a little cheer too. Partners. So, y'all, you getting this? So the wife, do you know how much work and prayer it takes to put all these scriptures together in one sermon and try not to make everybody in the universe mad? So the wife who finds a good husband has favor from the Lord. He shall be at home trying to cheer her up as much as possible. A husband is to cheer his wife, and not just for 1 year. Cheer up your wife. Live joyfully with her. You see, marriage is supposed to be fun. Dottie and I have a lot of fun. And I don't mean we don't have some disagreements. And I mean, sometimes, you know, we disagree. People think we want to kill each other, but we're just clearing the air. It's good just to clear the air and have a good understanding and still love each other and care about each other. But I want to know what she's thinking. I just learned last year that flowers are very important. After 52 years, I finally learned that one way to cheer her up is to bring home flowers. So I go over to the neighbor's flower garden and pick her a bouquet every day or every week. I just learned last year that is important to cheer her up. I never dreamed how much excited she'd be over a bouquet of flowers. But I go get one now every week. First Corinthians, of course you have to have money to do these things, but if you really have a heart for God and you want to live right and do right, God will provide the money. 1 Corinthians 7:3, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but her husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. He's talking, and if you're not smart enough to figure that out, he's talking about sex. Verse 5, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. The only excuse you have for not cooperating is fasting and praying. Or health issues. And come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You see, if you don't take care of your mate, someone else may. Okay. You see, we must understand that marriage comes with some serious responsibilities and obligations. I'm going to read some scriptures now that the secular humanist Marxist radical feminists, they flip out into orbit. It's because they don't have enough ability to really get in the Word of God and understand it. So I'm going to explain it just like it's written. Ephesians, and it works with me and Dottie. It'll work for anyone who will work it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse, and this not be an old fogey, because a lot of the old fogies didn't get it right either. This has been scriptural. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior. My daddy would take this, I'm the boss. It says I'm supposed to be the head. Well, it means you to be the spiritual head. It means you to pray for your family and hear from God, get wisdom, and treat your family with the wisdom of God, not because you're trying to satisfy your own cravings. If a real man will be a real man of God, most women don't have any problem being submissive to them and listening to them. But they got to know that you love them more, or as much at least, and probably more than yourself. You're willing to sacrifice yourself for them. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Verse 28, just pay attention. You'll get it here in a minute. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Now get a load of that. If I love God as much as I love my own self, then I'm not going to mistreat her in any way. If I want to bless myself, then I want to bless her. And I want to bless her even if it means I have to sacrifice something myself. I found out that you can go to a Longhorn Steakhouse and you can get the biggest steak they got. You know, it costs a small fortune, but if you split it, it's still plenty of meat. They got an extra potato, extra salad, whatever, and you save a little money. And so we do that all the time. It's my job to carve it up. I promise you, I always make sure she gets more than I get. She says, well, you're giving me too much. I said, that's okay. I won't take care of you. And I make sure she gets more than I do every time. And don't go back her and ask her, because she'll say, yes, he does. Verse 28, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. If you do not love and adore your wife, then you really, down deep, don't even care about your own self. Verse 29, after all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. Do you see the balance there? Well, I'm not going to submit to no bully man. If a guy loves you like that, it's real very easy to be submissive and listen to him. Even then, it doesn't mean you're going to do everything he says, because you serve God too. had a woman come to my office once and had other women say this. Her husband told her to have sex with another man, and she did it because he told her to. I said, what is wrong with you? You belong to God. If your husband tells you to do something contrary to God and his word, you do not do it. God's first. Amen. But he said, listen to your husband and respect him. And then he says, husbands, you love your wife and take care of her just as good or better than you take care of yourself. Now, I'm still not done yet. Verse 33, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. You see, Dottie and I love each other, and we live to make each other happy. I really believe that's where we are. Okay. Get rid of selfishness. Selfishness does not pay off in the long run. When you're always out to get what you want, you're really cheating yourself. Go ahead and give her what she wants, and she's going to appreciate it if she's a good, godly woman, and she's going to treat you even better. That's why we live in this ungodly big house. This guy gave us his house. I had plans to immediately sell it, give the money to the church. Dottie said, I want to live in that house. So why? You got a house here, but I never had a house like this. Okay. And so I let her move in. I can't get her out. But as long as we can come up with the money to pay for it, you just have to guess what it costs to live in a house like this big. You know, electricity, you know, heat and air, and taxes, and insurance. Boy, it really adds up fast. And swimming pool. But we rented another house, and it helps pay for the expenses on this house. And so we've been able to make it. But she wants to live there. So we're going to live there as long as we can. Well, you'd be smart to sell that house and invest the money. I'd be smart to keep my wife happy. Now, I don't misunderstand, I think I'm perfect. I mean, Dottie has been a very patient lady. Anyway, I don't have time to go into all the details on my faults. Take too long. Make up your mind. Do you want your way, or do you want a happy marriage? Do you want your way, or do you want a happy marriage? That don't mean you become a doormat, but that means you got to make sure your mate's happy as much as you can. And some people you can't make them happy no matter what you do. Some people just problems. But that's where doing marriage right. Find the right person and know it's God before you marry him. And a lot of the things I'm talking about, you got to be able to pay for it. I couldn't have bought Dottie a house like this if my life depended on it. But God gave it to us. I think God gave it to her for putting up with me. Here's what the Amplified Bible says. Let the wife see that she respects to be submissive. But here's what way it's translated in the Amplified Bible, and I believe it's right. Let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him over everybody, over all the other men in her life, including her sons, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. Let me tell you something. Men cannot be successful without this kind of encouragement. They just can't. They can need a wife just like their mama, bragging on them, encouraging them. And the toughest man needs a woman encouraging him and building him up and telling him, oh, yes, you can do it. You can do it. If it's his mother or his wife, he needs that. And he almost has to have it. Amen. I'm talking about a real man now. Men are basically mama's boys their whole life. They need mama. Oh, come on, you can make it. You can do it. You have the ability to do it. Dottie encourages me all the time. She buys me these shirts. Iron Man. Superman. Spider-Man. You know? And I wear these things. They're shirts you wear to the health club. People come up to me all the time and say, you think you're Superman? I said, no, but my wife does. Y'all pay attention. Men need the approval and encouragement of their wives, and if you're busy trying to compete with them and be equal to them, you're going to blow it. And if a man's got to have his own way and he's got to be the boss, he's going to blow it. But women need to know that men really are motivated by their love, respect, encouragement, probably more than anything else. You see, I'm the spiritual head of our home, but God speaks to me, but God also speaks to Dottie. She belongs to him too. I told Dottie, God wants us to go to Knoxville and start a church. She didn't want to do it. She had a new house, new baby. I had just gotten a pay raise. Things were going good. And she didn't want to go. So I told God, you got to speak to her. I mean, I can't beat her in line. It has to be God. I can't be the bull. God, she's got to hear from God. I told God, I said, I can't go without her. I'm not going without her. Without telling me, she asked God for a sign, and God gave her a sign. You've heard it. She says, God, if you want us to go to Knoxville, let George Gray, a guest speaker in our church in Lexington, Kentucky. She said, let George Gray mention Knoxville in a sermon today. And she knew he lived in Louisville. He had no connection with Knoxville that she knew about. She knew she was on safe ground. He wasn't going to mention Knoxville in the sermon, but in a very low voice, he said, I was saved on a train coming from a ball game in Knoxville going to Louisville, and I got saved on that train. And she sat up in her chair and said, what did he say? She was sitting in the back, and I was up front. Okay, what did he say? And he said, I said I was saved on a train coming from Knoxville to Louisville. And she had her own word after that from God, and she was totally happy and totally excited about coming, been happy and excited ever since. If we have prayed, God will talk to both of us. Husband and wife are partners in life, and they both can hear and must hear from God. Once Dottie heard from God, she was glad to go to Knoxville, come to Knoxville. Dottie does trust me as a spiritual leader, because when I say, thus saith the Lord, it happens. I don't care how tough a man you are, if you're always saying, this is what we need to do, and it's always wrong, you need to become a spiritual man and get a hold of God, and when you say something, it needs to be right. Amen. A lot of men want to be the head and be the bull, be the boss, but they don't want to be the spiritual head and hear from God. I pray and I hear from God, and I expect God to tell Dottie. Let me read this, Genesis 21:10. Ishmael was mocking Isaac. I want to show you here how marriage, a godly marriage, can work. As you know, Abraham had a son by Hagar. His name was Ishmael. Ishmael was mocking little Isaac. Therefore, she, Sarah, said to Abraham, drive out this maid with her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. She said, this kid is making fun of my son. You get him out of here. But it was Abraham's son. Verse 11, the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. But God said to Abraham, now I've never heard anybody preach this as a part of a marriage thing, but God gave these scriptures to me to give to you. And I think I've actually used this one once before, time two before. Verse 11, the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. But God said to Abram, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. Whoa! God said, you listen to Sarah. In time to, God's told me to listen to Dottie. Because Dottie belongs to God too, and she can hear from God. Is this making any sense to anybody? You can have a good marriage if you get on your knees and pray the thing through. Hear from God. For through Isaac, your descendants shall be named. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. For through Isaac, your descendants shall be named. She was submissive, but she heard from God. It says she even called him Lord. But she wasn't a doormat. And God respected her for it. God agreed with Sarah. Abraham, Sarah's right. Pastor Barry Dodd is right. True marriage is a three-way partnership. I said all these things to get to this one thing. True marriage is a three-way partnership between God, husband, and wife. That's what works. If you want to be married, this is the only way to have a happy marriage. Let's all stand.